I'm Gary Holt, and joining me in the beautiful state of California is our co-host, Bobby Jean Bell. Good morning, Bobby Jean.
Good morning, Gary.
How are things out in California today?
Dry, 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 and hot, hot, hot.
Oh, wow. Well, we've got a cold front coming through Tennessee, so we're going to be in the upper 70s today. Nice change from our 105 heat index we've been experiencing. But the weather is a real challenge. I mean, we've got to keep our folks out in Washington in our prayers with the challenges that they're having out there with those fires. And we'll probably talk a little bit about firefighters later on in this show. But we do have a great show today and some great guests and going to have some great music and great conversation. So let's go ahead and tell our audience who we have joining us today.
Well, of course, and good morning to our audience. We're so happy that you're with us today. We start off our show with singer-songwriter Kerry Grumbacher, and I believe he's calling in from New Orleans. And then we go to the Adirondacks, and we'll be talking with Liz Hershey and Karen Giroux, who are with a group called Friends of Otter Creek.
All right, so that's going to be a lot of fun, and gosh, we've got folks from one coast to the next on today. And further south. So did you say New Orleans?
I said New Orleans.
Right.
Kerry will correct me.
Gosh. Well, this is going to be a fun show, and we're looking forward to talking with all of our guests. We remind you that the Campfire Cafe is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So grab a big cup of coffee, take a deep seat in the saddle, and when we come back, we're going to be going to New Orleans and talking with Kerry Grumbacher. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Wind blows cold off the hard Alberta plains, it sings in the high line, where the Milk River runs along the Bear Paw Range, it sings in the high line. We lie in wait for the storm to begin, Chief Joseph's voice is keening in the wind, it sings in the high line, it sings in the high line. In the Appaloosa flank, in the rushing stream, it sings in the high line. A legacy that still haunts our dreams, it sings in the high line. Forsake the blood red star of war from where the sun now stands. I will fight no more, it sings in the high line. It sings in the high line. There are voices on the wire and ghosts dance in the gravel underneath my tires. Eastbound freight is crossing at the grade. It sings in the high line. Lamplight burns behind the farmhouse shade, it sings in the high line. Highway 2 and the railroad track both lead away and they don't come back. It sings in the high line. It sings in the high line. Buffalo grass plowed under four farms, it sings in the high line. Topsoil held, but the people are gone, it sings in the high line. This land was rich and our lives were blessed, still we mourn the passing of the West. It sings in the high line, and it sings in the high line. It sings in the high line.
Well, Well, that is a great song by Cary Grunbecker. It sings in the highlight, a great way to start the show. And Bobby, I am getting more email from people talking about this big first part of our show every week. And so let's just jump right in and let you take over right now.
Calling New Orleans home, today's first guest, Cary Grunbecker's original contemporary folk and Western songs paint vivid portraits and tell fascinating stories of roadside motels, old camp cooks, wildland fine firefighters, and the landmarks of the West. His songs are set in the landscape where he's lived and worked, from his home in New Orleans' Bayou St. John to the High Line of Montana, and from the desert Southwest to the forest of the Northwest. Like a troubadour of old, traveling solo with his captivating voice, guitar, and mandolin, Cary performs regularly at intimate venues, large festivals, poetry, and music gatherings. You'll find him performing on stages as varied as the Arizona Cowboy Gathering, the New Orleans Jazz Festival, Newport, Rhode Island's Newport Folk Festival, and Cody, Wyoming's Cowboy Songs and Range Ballads. His nationwide travels take him on back roads, parkways, and blue highways, and are often the inspiration for his songs. Please welcome to Campfire Cafe the songwriter Cowboys and Indians magazine said is one of the West's new breed, who builds on, embellishes, expands, and updates traditional Western themes and idioms, Cary Grunbecker.
That's a pretty amazing studio audience you've got there, Bobby Jean. I like that. Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good morning. Good morning.
It's hard for me to have been silent for 7 minutes through all that, but I will start by telling you that New Orleans, as we say it here mostly, is a terrific place to be. In fact, this morning it's about to rain, but it's a great place to be if you're a songwriter, because there are at least 5 official, completely acceptable pronunciations of the city's name. There's New Orleans, which I say almost all the time. If you listen to Dr. John MacRabinac, he says Nawlins, baby, Nawlins. You can say New Orleans, which is acceptable. On the radio, there's some folks, announcers here, who say New Orleans. And then if you listen to Cokie Roberts on public radio, she's descended from 2 United States senators from Louisiana and represents a way of speaking that's kind of uptown and getting lost, but she says New Orleans. So that's 5 right there.
Wow.
And if you're a songwriter, you've got 5 rhyming possibilities. So it's a goldmine.
That is a goldmine. That is pretty cool. Well, we're tickled to death to have you on the show with us today, and we've got a lot of great music to play, but let's kind of start out, Cary, talking about you're growing up and where you grew up and how you got started in music.
Well, I was born at Fort Riley, Kansas. My dad was a career Army officer, I played music starting in 4th grade. In school band, I played drums all the way through high school, and I picked up guitar and auto harp and mandolin in my teenage years. Auto harp first, then guitar, then mandolin. My dad was a musician as well as being an Army officer, and so I grew up with music in the house. He was oriented toward classical music. He played piano, harpsichord, and organ. He also had a great and very deep love for American folk and country music. So I grew up with Bach and Hank Williams, Hank Snow and Beethoven, just all that interchangeably. So I had a good schooling.
That was quite a variety of music to influence you today. And, one of the most interesting things that we talked about the other day was your Subaru.
Yes, indeed. Bobby Jean was talking about my coast-to-coast and border-to-border tours. I've got 444,000 miles on a 2001 Subaru Forester right now. That's actually the third car that I've been touring with over the last couple of decades. And the other ones I took up into the high 200,000s, but the Subaru has just been chugging along, and it's a good companion on the road. 440,000 miles.
Well, that's an endorsement for Subaru, and I think you told me the key to that is keeping that oil changed.
Exactly. I've been saying that for years. Just routine maintenance will extend the life of a car incredibly.
Wow. So, Bobby Jean, if you want to get a lot of miles on a car, get a Subaru, and they're not paying for this ad today.
No.
You're getting ready for a big tour, aren't you, Carrie?
Yes, I am. Just around the 1st of September, I head up to Iowa. Starting off, I'm up there at a festival to play mandolin with Aspen Black, a good friend of mine and a person you all know. And
right.
And then I go from there out to, I've got dates in Nebraska, Wyoming, South Dakota, Kansas, and then switch over to Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, and then back out west to Arizona and New Mexico. That's going to take from the 1st of September up until right about Thanksgiving. So.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's quite a tour that's lined up. We're going to play as much of your music as we can get in today. And first song that I want to do, I guess, is going to kind of reflect on that New Orleans background that you've got. And this is one called Cajun Cowboy. You want to tell us anything about this song?
Well, Louisiana has I'll say first of all that I'm not of Cajun descent. My folks are both from Germany. There's no French or French Canadian or Louisiana Cajun in my heritage. But Louisiana has a very old horse and cow tradition. A lot of folks in the West especially don't really credit the East and the South as being the heart of the cattle industry in this country, or the beginnings of it, really. And so you've got these folks that are sometimes termed cracker cowboys from Louisiana all the way over to the panhandle of Florida.
Right.
So I was thinking one day about one of these Cajun cowboys, a fellow who, as I say sometimes in concerts, just got tired of losing calves to the alligators in the swamp every year and decided he would move up north to Wyoming.
All right. Well, this is a fun song, and it's a great song. It's Cajun Cowboy. We're talking with Carrie Grumbacher, and we're going to be back in just a moment on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
He was a Cajun cowboy from South Louisiana. He could ride like the wind, that boy could throw the hula hand. But when he tired of the view from his own front porch, he saddled up his horse, started riding north. The Cajun cowboys wrangling up in old Cheyenne. At night, the bawling cattle would hear him sing a circle song about his pirogue on the bayou and his long-lost Jolly Blanc. Around the cook fire, Lord, I can hear him yet spinning tales about the swamps of the Lafayette. The Cajun cowboys wrangling up in old Cheyenne. Mountain oysters in a batter like his mama made. He taught the boys to speak French like they rode in off the Vucare. Cookie finally quit when the crew complained that they didn't want stew, they wanted etouffee. The Cajun cowboys wrangling in the cook shack now. His mama sent him chicory and you know she sent him filet too, so he could boil his Cajun coffee, start his gumbo with a dark brown roux. Up by the stock pond, he built a little house on stilts, ran a trot line up a creek in the hills. The Cajun cowboys cooking up in old Cheyenne. Oh, the Cajun cowboys wrangling in the cook shack now. And the food is more better than Dakota the West might allow. One skinny cowboy gained so many pounds that he traded in his pony for a Percheron. The Cajun cowboy cooking up in old Cheyenne. Dakota, Cajun cowboys cooking up in old Cheyenne. And when the weather gets cold, he'll use a little more cayenne. Oh, the Cajun cowboy, laissez les bon temps rouler.
I was listening to that, and it reminded me of Joni Harm's song, Louisiana Hot Sauce, that she does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. We like to kick off with that, too, a little bit. But let's back up just a little bit. I think Bobby was going to ask you about you growing up and where you went to school. And Bobby?
Yes. Let's see now. You spent some time in Texas, did you, Carrie?
Yeah, I went to college in Texas. I moved there in 1970 to Austin to go to University of Texas, and I stayed 28 years. I was in Austin from 70 till 1998, and was an undergraduate and graduate student at the University of Texas. I studied American Studies and American Civilizations, kind of all encompassing American culture studies.
Austin seems like such a rich musical grounds there in Austin.
It was a place to move. It was in the early days of the Austin music scene. It was a lot looser and less commercial than it is now. It's sort of less commercial oriented, but a great place to play music, a great place to live in the early 70s.
So when did the Western music and folk traditions kind of grab a hold of you?
Well, I grew up with folk music. My earliest memories of music, aside from Hank Williams and some great songs like "Put My Little Shoes Away" and then some of the great duets of the 50s. I was listening to Burl Ives in the 50s when I was a kid. A little bit of Woody Guthrie and the Weavers. In fact, a songbook my father had on the bookshelf that I discovered when I was about 14 was the Woody Guthrie songbook. And then. By the late 50s, it was, you got the Kingston Trio, and then Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Bob Dylan, Joan Baez, and the whole 1960s folk and singer-songwriter revolution. And I started playing folk music then. I was playing drums in rock and roll and R&B bands, and I was playing auto harp and guitar in coffee houses when I was still a teenager. Moved to Texas, and everything got a little bit more Western, but much more, I guess, in the 70s, it was more country oriented than it was cowboy oriented. Mm-hmm. By the 90s, I'd written a few Western songs, some of them drawing on my experience working out in Oregon in the early 70s. And then in 1995, I met Bud Strom. You might remember him. He was a cowboy poet from Hereford, Arizona. He'd been in the Army with my dad, and he invited me to a cowboy poetry gathering in Sierra Vista, Arizona in February 1996. That's the Cochise Cowboy Music and Poetry Gathering. And that just turned my head around. I went out there with, I think I told Gary, four Western songs I'd written, and I probably knew another half dozen just from, osmosis. And I listened to folks play, and I sat in song circles and jam sessions, met some great performers, Duke Davis, John Messenger, good friends of mine, and I couldn't get back to Austin without writing two songs. I stopped in El Paso and wrote a tune, in fact, one of them that you've got there, Gary, called Never Come Again. I wrote that in El Paso on my drive back to Austin. I had another one just about finished by the time I got to my front door. Coming into Western music, cowboy music, just opened up storytelling for me in a way that it had not been there for me in songwriting before. So I started writing story songs, ballads.
Oh, that's so great. I always love to hear the process part. I love to know what inspires people and how they move through from inspiration to final song. Gary, do you want to play a song? You want to have him set up the next song?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do one. And this again is a little bit of a different twist to the Western song, and that's the Wild West Mambo. And talk to us a little bit about that one.
Oh, sure. Well, the historic background is that in 1884, Buffalo Bill brought the Wild West show down to New Orleans. At the time, the Wild West show was only 2 years old. There's a whole saga about how difficult it was for Bill Cody to get the show down here. And in New Orleans, he hired Annie Oakley, a little sure shot is what Sitting Bull called her. And
yeah.
It's where the Plains Indians from the Wild West show met the folks we call in New Orleans the Mardi Gras Indians, African-American folks who since the mid part of the 19th century have made elaborate feather and bead costumes called Indian suits as a way of paying homage to Gulf Coast Indian tribes that used to harbor escaped slaves and as a way of participating in Mardi Gras when Mardi Gras was really strictly segregated and blacks really were not part of the celebration. So masking Indian was a way of getting in on the street part of the celebrations, I think. And so I read a little blurb about this visit. There's not a lot written about it, not a lot of newspaper accounts or anything, but the Wild West Show was here from 1884 and into 1885 for the World Cotton Exposition, one of the very first World's Fairs. And I just imagined the rest of it. You know, I had a few facts to hang the story on and just used my imagination for the rest of it.
All right, well, let's listen to Wild West Mambo, and we'll be right back on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
All right.
Buffalo Bill on the river boat, white goatee and a buckskin coat. He said, I got a surefire money-making scheme. We take the Wild West Show down to New Orleans. Wild West Show in New Orleans, biggest show that they've ever seen. We got buffalo hunters and the lion fighters, little sure shot and the bareback riders. Buffalo hunters and the lion fighters, little sure shot and the bareback riders. Gathered at the fairgrounds late at night, big powwow by flambeau light. Turkey feather and the circle dance, cowboy songs and Indian chants. African drum and a willow flute, sparkling beads on an Indian suit. The strangest thing that you ever saw, cowboys and Indians at the Mardi Gras. The strangest thing that you ever saw, cowboys and Indians at the Mardi Gras. From Elysian fields to the river bend, black men and red men making friends. Creole Wild West and the Ogallala, buffalo liver and the gumbo yaya. On the wharf by the cotton bales, passing the pipe and swapping tails. Suited up and stepping out, spy boy and the Indian scout. Suited up and stepping out, spy boy and the Indian scout. Oh, well, the Wild West band went to Basin Street, drink their fill and get a bite to eat. Oh, when they left the district, their ears were ringing with a hot new music and the wild blues singing. Storyville music set their feet to tap and syncopated rhythm had their fingers snapping. Back of the quarter, it was so sublime to hear the Wild West band join the second line. Back of the quarter, it was so sublime to hear the Wild West band join the second line. Rich and poor, old and young, came to see how the West was won. From Baton Rouge and Lafayette, Algiers, Delacroix and Chalmette. Buffalo Bill said, it's such a pity to leave our friends in the Crescent City. I'll miss the oysters and the good red beans, but I must say goodbye to New Orleans. I'll miss the oysters and the good red beans, but I must say goodbye to New Orleans. Wild West Mambo, Wild West Mambo. Well, the biggest show that they ever seen was the Wild West Show down in New Orleans. Buffalo Bill had himself a dream to take the Wild West Show to New Orleans.
I like that song. I like that song. I tell you what, I have often wished that I could have seen Bill Cody's Wild West Show. That would have been quite an experience, I think.
There are a few short film clips that are available you can watch. I know the Buffalo Bill Center of the West up in Cody, used to be the Buffalo Bill Historical Center, has some of those clips running all the time now in their museum, and it's fascinating. You know,
yeah. Nashville has a great cultural center called the Cheekwood Botanical Gardens, and so if you love coffee like I do, the Cheeks were responsible for Maxwell House Coffee, who is not a sponsor either, but I love my Maxwell House, but they had a great exhibition that the Cody Museum brought in, I think last year. And great history, and it's always pretty cool to be able to go back and watch some of those old film clips of that. But you've done a little cowboying. Let's talk a little bit about some of your time back as an outfitter and some of your experiences doing that.
Well, I'm hardly an outfitter. I'm a happy saddler of horses, and I do what I'm told a lot of times. I've got a good friend named Bob Lantis Bob is one of the fellows, kind of like Glenn Orland, who knows every single cowboy song ever written and will sing them all for you around a campfire. And Bob and I got to know each other in Cody during Cowboy Songs and Range Ballads, which was a great festival that ran up until the early 2000s and kind of got changed around a little bit. And he's invited me to ride with him starting in the early 2000s. And I've done several trips in Yellowstone with him, saddling horses for guests, putting up tents, fetching water for the coffee, you know, just the work of cowboying, not the glory, of course, and playing music at the campfires. And so I've been doing backcountry trips in Yellowstone, work with him on the Buffalo Roundup in Custer State Park in South Dakota at the end of September every year. And there's nobody who has more credit for my Western education, as we call it, than Bob Lantis. And I knew the history and the culture, and he put me on horseback, which has been really good.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, one of my good friends and has been on the Campfire Cafe in the past is Roland Cheek. And Roland is one of the four founders of Backcountry Horsemen of America. And
wow.
Yeah, and Roland did a lot of outfitting for a number of years and has written a lot of great books and stories. And there are always some stories that go along with this stuff. Dave Stamey is going to be on the show in sometime in September, and he worked at the Alice L. Ranch out in California and worked at that guest ranch and had some really funny stories that he had to share. I expect if you spent much time doing what you did, you've probably got a story or two that you can tell.
Yeah, and some of them, I'm actually sworn to secrecy on some of them.
Yeah, well, I started to say that you could tell on air. I mean, there were some that Dave could tell on air, but
there's the old non-disclosure agreement, you know.
That's right.
What happens on the trail stays on the trail.
That's right. But did you have any kind of an experience while you were out back doing that?
Well, we were up in heavy bear country in Yellowstone one week, and our entire string of horses, we had four of us wrangling and a good handful of guests, and the entire string of horses bolted one night. They went through the electric fence and headed down the trail because of the heavy bear presence up there. And a couple of them stopped off and got caught by an outfitter a couple of miles below us on the trail, and the rest of them went all the way back to the trailhead. And so Bob and another wrangler took off after the horses and picked up the two that the other outfitter had stopped. And by the time they got down to the bottom of the trail, back to the trailhead, a couple of musician friends of ours, Rick Stenke and Linda Hausler, Open Range from Livingston, Montana, they were just arriving to come up the trail to join us, and managed to gather the 16 or 18 horses that had bolted. And the funny thing there is that all the tourists down on the road in Yellowstone, seeing these horses run by, thought they were being, they had the opportunity to see a band of wild horses running through. how they could miss the bright red nylon halters on these horses, I don't know. But they had a wild horse experience, and we got all the horses back miraculously.
Oh, wow, that's a hoot. That is a hoot. Well, tell us about Blue Pony Dream.
Well, I've got a good friend who lives up in Haver or Chinook, Montana, Ken Overcast. He's a singer and songwriter, runs a cow-calf operation up there that's been in the family for a couple, three generations on deeded land. And so I go up to visit Ken and his wife, Dawn, every few years, and I was up there on the High Line. That's U.S. Highway 2, which runs along the Burlington Northern Railroad just below the Canadian border. And running into Haver, Montana, saw a sign on the side of the road that said, Haver, Montana, home of the Blue Pony. That's their high school mascot, as it turns out. But the first thing I thought about was this horse flying up off that sign above that northern Montana High Line landscape. And so I pulled together facts that I know about the High Line and the geography up there, and then wove it together with this notion of a young woman who dreams of saddling her high school mascot horse and flying away.
Oh, wow. 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 Well, let's listen to Blue Pony Dream, and we're going to come back and talk more with Carrie and with Bobby Jean in just a moment.
She saddled that blue pony, pulled the cinches tight. In her dream, she rode the High Line, climbing toward the northern lights. She could see the colors dancing where the Milk River wound. She could see how the horizon holds the highway down. And she needed all the courage she could gather in her dream of leaving Haver. Balanced on the High Line like she's walking on a tightrope, anxious and excited, filled with worry and with hope. She once moved south near Billings, but her father came to get her when the man that she had married took her money and he hit her. Now she carries, I'm told, burden of her daughter in her dream of leaving Haver. There's a woman reading tarot cards in a trailer out near Malta, who warned her she would stumble, who said that she might falter, but with the pole star on her shoulder, she sets her pony's course with the slightest tap of rein and a murmur to the horse. If she falls, she knows the blue pony will catch her in her dream of leaving Haver. The wind out of Saskatchewan takes away her breath, and the freight train's mournful whistles sing like harbingers of death. She knows there's something better, so she prays that God will grant her her dream of leaving Haver. Missouri, like a dirty ribbon shirt, is an arrow on a heart line shot into the prairie earth. One night she felt her shadow touch the shadow of a fox as it ran out toward the willows from the overhanging rocks. High above the break, she spurred her horse on faster in her dream of leaving Haver. Like a labyrinth of tunnels, her feelings deep and hidden, she awakens with no memory of the country she has ridden. But she's tired and she's restless, and her heart cries out for peace. Her eyes seek darkness early, and her body yearns for sleep. But again, tonight that pony's hide will lather in her dream of leaving Haver. Saskatchewan takes away her breath, and the freight train's mournful whistles sing like harbingers of death. She knows there's something better, so she prays that God will grant her her dream of leaving heaven. Lord, she'll need all the courage she can gather for her dream of leaving heaven.
That is Blue Pony Dream, and I could imagine that. I could imagine.
I try to paint these pictures that people could just sort of drift through or experience as I'm singing them. Try to lay out a good landscape, tell a good story that's set in that landscape, and hope that it's convincing.
Well, you've got an exciting event that you're going to be participating in coming up in September, and let's talk about this Buffalo Roundup that comes up in South Dakota.
Yeah, it's an annual event. We're in the 45th or more year of it, and the Custer State Park still has an extant buffalo herd. It dates back to the 19th century. It's one of the oldest herds in the country, and they run about 1,400 head in the summertime, and then they cull it down to about 800 for the winter. And there's this roundup that's been going on. It's done quite a bit on horseback. They use some vehicles with it too, but it's mostly horseback. Takes place over the course of two or three days, where they push the bison up into a holding area, and then as a tourist event, run these 1,400 bison around a huge basin. So they're essentially stampeding around a bend into some chutes. They've got holding pens that they've built over the years, and that event will draw upwards of 20,000 visitors to the Black Hills just to watch the bison run and then to come in and view them up close in these pens over the course of a day. And they inoculate and brand the new calves, and they sell off some of the heifers and some of the 1 and 2 year olds into the buffalo ranching market. So they have a sustainable herd. They take real good care of the range there, and then we got all these bison out in the world for us to enjoy.
Those
of us who enjoy eating bison. and the event itself, what I do with Bob Lantis, the outfitter, Gunsel Horse Adventures, is we have a camp with a bunch of his family and friends, and then we have guests, paid guests, who come in, and we take them on day rides in spectacular country. That we were featured on the ABC television show Born to Explore. It's an adventure travel show. They came and did a 30-minute program on the Buffalo Roundup, and I was on there singing a song, and Michael Martin Murphy, who's one of our friends who was involved in that, was there doing a song, and Bob did a song, and we talked about the landscape and the bison, and folks just love that country. It's beautiful to ride in. You get to see part of it that you can't see it from the road, of course. So we're quite a ways off the road. So.
Right. Well, I know Murph's planning on being back up there this year, so you guys, I'm sure, will run into each other.
I think he will be, yeah. I haven't heard definitely, but he's often there. He's great to ride with, a lot of fun, and, you know, he's terrific to pick with at the campfires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that should be a lot of fun. And I think you told me you'd connected with some other friends that we have in common that are going to be up there taking part in that event.
Yeah, well, Alan and Jill Kirkham are working with your friend Phil Randall in a new chuckwagon outfit in Custer. So Alan and Jill are musicians I know through the Western Music Association, and they have been working with an outfit in Hill City, I think, a chuckwagon outfit, and they kind of switched allegiances here during the season and announced a new venture with Phil, and they're cooking some barbecue and off the chuck wagon, and they're entertaining guests through the summer season. So it'll be fun to see them at the end of the season.
Yeah. And what are the dates again on that?
The Buffalo Roundup is, I'm looking at my calendar here a second. Sorry.
Well, that's okay.
September 25th is the roundup itself. So we're in camp from the 24th through the 27th.
Wow. Wow. So Bobby Jean, you need to just catch a flight and run out to South Dakota, and you can chase after those buffalo and then probably have some great cooking while you're at there. This, I don't know if you know this about her, but she loves food.
I love bison. Jim cooks with bison regularly. It's what he uses in his famous chili, and it's delicious.
Yeah.
Good lean meat. You know where it comes from. It's you don't actually even need the product of the country of origin labeling anymore.
Oh gosh. Well, we want to get to another one of your great songs, and you've got a room named after you at the Sands Motel, don't you?
Yeah, it's one of the highlights of my career. I started taking photographs of Sands Motels everywhere I traveled in the late 90s, and I wrote this tune called Sands Motel and put out an album called Sands Motel. And Judy Welch, a friend of mine from Chaparral, New Mexico, painted a necktie that has the neon sign of the Sands Motel of Las Cruces, New Mexico, on it. And when I got ready to start selling the album, I called a whole bunch of Sands Motels around the country, and the fellow who owned the one in Grants, New Mexico, said, "Send me a few, I can sell these things." And invited me out. I did a concert on his parking lot in September 2001, and it was a big benefit for the local food bank. And you know, when you do these fundraisers or you do benefits, you don't get paid. You do those as a donation. But the compensation that he gave me is that he put my name on the door of room 104, the room that I stayed in. So there's a Terry Graubacher room. And the cool thing, you know, it's on old Route 66. So I've got a in a neon motel with a great sign, I've got a room named after me on Route 66. I mean,
I love that.
That is beautiful. That is. All right, let's take a listen to the Sands Motel. We'll be right back.
All right.
Meet me tonight at the Sands Motel, out on the edge of town. The sign's missing the end. If you come from the east, and the building's a little run down. I've brought along some of the comforts of home, my pillow and a coffee pot too. So meet me tonight at the Sands Motel. I'll be waiting there for you. I'll be staying again at a Sands Motel on the outskirts of some other town. A full day of driving and 2 hours of playing, I'll be ready enough to bed down. Lulled by the hum of the ice machine, the TV and a drink or two. Meet me tonight at the Sands. It's clean and it's quiet with the bolt on the door. It's reasonably safe and it's cheap. I'm only in town for one night stand, and the Sands is all that I need. Thank you. There's an all-night cafe near the Sands Motel, with food to take back to the room. I'm late to bed and I'm early to rise, though the checkout time is noon. I'll pack up here in the cold and the light and go on to our rendezvous. Meet me tonight at the Sands. Traffic is sparse at the Sands Motel, in the heart of America's night. Tourist court dreams of travelers past, silhouetted in ghostly truck light. The interstate bypass, the heart of this town, crown melted down for the jewels. Meet me tonight at the Sands Motel. I'll be waiting there for you. Meet me tonight at the Sands.
Well, I just was thinking about how cool it is to have a room named after you on Route 66. That is just pretty deep.
it's one of the stellar points of my career, I think.
Well, our time has flown by. It's been so much fun talking with you and sharing your music. And Carrie, let's tell folks where they can find your website and buy some of this great music.
Well, I am Carrie Grombacher, kgrombacher.com is my website, and you can buy CDs there. You can also check my schedule there. And then CDs are also available from cdbaby.com, which is a really good internet music commerce site. It's a really good place for musicians to list their CDs and a good place for folks to buy them. And you can do downloads. I'm on all the digital download sites as well.
Okay. Well, we're going to encourage folks to do that, and that's kgrombacher.com. And visit his website and find out where he's going to be. When you get up to the Buffalo Roundup, you be sure and tell Phil Randall howdy for me, as well as Michael Martin Murphy. And we'll be seeing him in June when we're back for our benefit to raise money for brittle bone disease back here
in
Tennessee.
Very
good. So as a matter of fact, Bobby Jean's coming out for that this year. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, very good.
It's on the calendar. Yep.
It's on the calendar. It is on the calendar. Well, we're going to close out the segment with a song called Along the John Day River. And, you know, we didn't talk to you about everything that we could have. And you've been a firefighter, and there's a little story about this song. Why don't you share that with us?
Yeah, I worked for the U.S. Forest Service in the Malheur National Forest in the early 70s. That's eastern Oregon, the dry part of Oregon. Fought a number of fires and just have the utmost respect for folks who are on the fire lines. This is a bad fire season, as most of our fire seasons are. The community lost three firefighters, and a few more were injured in a terrible accident up in Twisp, Washington, just outside of, just on the east side of the Cascades. And our hearts go out to the families of those folks and the community that lost those brave firefighters. It's something that happens every year, and every year we just sympathize and empathize with the folks who have made that great sacrifice for us.
Well, we're going to play this song. Excuse me. We're going to play this song. When we come back, we're going to be traveling to New York and visit with Karen Giroux and Liz Hershey and talk about the Otter Creek Trails and their horse camps at Otter Creek. And Carrie, thanks so much for being with us today.
Gary, thank you so much for having me on. Bobby Jean, good to talk to you again, and I look forward to seeing you all down the trail. Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
All right, thanks so much, and we remind you that you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
with wood smoke. The Malheur is burning, dry wind off the Cascades, and the storm clouds are churning. High mountain lookout, a voice on the wireless. There's lightning strikes and fires along the John Day River. Flames have crowned the lodge poles that grow along the ridgeline, scorched the ponderosas, junipers and white pines. He leaps out to hit you like a wind from hell is blowing, but the fire on the John Day River. All through the summer, with the forest dry as kindling, watch the horizon for the signs of weather building. Storms move off the western ranges, leaving them. Thunder rocks the canyon walls, and they pound the earth with lightning. Glasses all around to the ones whom we remember. Drink to the lookouts, the jumpers and the hot shots. Here's to the pilots who fly the slurry drops. Ray Shovel and Pulaski to the ones who dig the fire lines with hearts heat forged like iron along the John Day River. Sky streaked with wood smoke, the Malheur is burning. Sunset like an oyster shell or autumn. Starlight faintly shimmers like glowing coals among the cinders. Above the fallen timber, along the John Day River. Starlight faintly shimmers, glowing coals among the cinders. Above the fallen timber, along the John Day River.
Well, we're going from New Orleans all the way to the Adirondacks in New York in Glenfield, and we're going to welcome to the show right now Karen Giroux and Liz Hershey. Hi, ladies.
Hi, Gary.
Hello.
Good.
Hi.
Good to have you with us, and we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the Friends of Otter Creek Trails, and we're also going to talk a little bit later about horse camps at Otter Creek Trails. But let's tell our audience a little bit about each of you ladies and your horse background, and let's go ahead and start with Karen.
Well, I've been riding for many, many years. I've tried a lot of the different disciplines, but now I focus primarily on trail riding from Maine to Florida and love it. I have two ponies. One's a spotted walker and one's a Rocky Mountain. I do a lot of obstacles and general trail riding, and hopefully going to do a little bit of limited distance riding.
Oh, cool, cool. And Liz, what about you?
Well, I started riding a little later in life. I'm dating myself here, probably 25 years ago or so. And I've ridden mostly here at Otter Creek. We have the horse camps now, as you mentioned earlier, but in my career, initially, I ran a packaging company in this area. So this is a really good lifestyle that I have now.
Well, that's
not less
great.
Stressful.
That's great. That's great. And, you know, I don't think starting at 5 years old is that much later in life if you started 25 years ago.
Yeah, you're
kind. Oh, gosh. Well, we want to find out about the Friends of Otter Creek, but let's talk a little bit about the Otter Creek trails and what that consists of before we get into that.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the Otter Creek Horse Trail System.
Okay.
It is owned by the state of New York. It was created in the late 1980s. It is about 65 miles of interlocking horse trails. The system itself is located approximately 50 miles north of Utica, which is directly off the New York State Thruway. We have great access to get to the system with blacktop roads the whole way. It's easy to get to. The trails themselves consist of interlocking systems with fabulous markings, so hopefully they won't get lost. It's part of the Independence River Wild Forest Unit and the state's Otter Creek State Forest System in the foothills of the western slopes of the Adirondack Park in Lewis County, New York. The system has all kinds of great trails. We're mostly sand-based, which we don't have to really deal with mud season, believe it or not.
Oh, that's great.
It's fabulous. The trails are very, very diverse with old growth trees, new growth hardwoods, old growth hardwood, planted pines, over several rivers. We have the Independence River, the Otter Creek River. We have Catspaw Lake and, what are they all? Crooked Creek and Pitcher Pond. It's just a huge variety of terrain. It's not mountainous per se. We have a few hills here and there, but it's really set up so even an advanced beginner should have no trouble out on the trail.
Well, that's great. That is great. Well, let's talk a little bit about what the purpose for the Friends of Otter Creek Trails is.
Well, we started this group about a year ago. We got a little more formalized, and we are we're a group of local landowners that are also equestrian, mostly just trail riders. And we live here at least part of the year, some people all year long. And we really wanted to give back to the trails that mean so much to us. So we have a stewardship agreement with the local Department of Environmental Conservation, which we just finally call the DEC for short.
Okay.
And under that stewardship agreement, we are allowed to go in and help with trail maintenance. We bring suggestions to them where the trails need improvements. Maybe the signage is getting old and needs replacing, or bridges, or whatever. But it's a lot of safety-related topics. And we've got a very good relationship, and they listen to us, and they've been very responsive and have made a lot of improvements this year in particular.
Well, that's great. There is such a need for people to get involved in helping to maintain these trails, and we're kind of blessed. For the last 2.5 years, we've had a relationship with Backcountry Horsemen of America, and the chairman, past chairman Jim McGarvey, is on with us every month, And we spent a lot of time talking about trail systems and the need for volunteer work to help maintain these trails. A lot of theirs is done in the backcountry, but you're more of what we would call front country riding, and that's pretty much what we're used to back in the East. I mean, if you go west of the Mississippi, you've got a lot of backcountry riding.
But yeah, that's true. But this is it is front. We are New York State, but this is wild. Most of it is wild forest, so mm-hmm. it is under the umbrella of being a highly protected area. So, for instance, you're not allowed to move a rock within the park that is embedded in the dirt. They do
wow.
leave it. To, yeah. So there's always a fine line when we ride a horse down the trail. Is that a safety issue, or is it okay to move that rock that I keep tripping over? The trails are generally very well maintained. Twice a year, or twice a season, I should say, the DEC crew goes out and makes sure all downed trees are cleared from the trails. And then we have a storm come through, we let them know, and they're great to go and clean up the mess so that the horses can get safely by. In the winter months, our part of our system is used as a major snowmobile trail system. Besides our trails, we have the assembly area, which the state maintains. It is basically primitive camping with no electricity. It's on a first-come, first-served basis, and there are actually 100 roofed straight stalls that are 4 foot wide for people to use for their horses. There's three
oh, wow.
large parking areas, a pavilion. We have two stallion stalls, and it's a potable water system for the horses, plus a flush toilet or two.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have showers, but we're working on that. Maybe that'll be a next major fundraiser.
That is cool. Well, how did the Friends of Otter Creek Trails come about?
Well, we talked about it on the trail for probably a couple of years, Karen and I, and the time was right that we thought we had enough time to devote to get it started, and we started talking to our other friends here, and they agreed it was a good cause, so we banded together and got organized, and that's pretty much it. It's not terribly formal, but it works, and we've accomplished actually a lot. We've put in a lot of picnic tables and tie rails in the last year and a half, and repaired some trails and put up new signage and new wheelbarrows. Lots of
new wheelbarrows
and pitchforks for the assembly area. They were definitely needed. One of the other reasons we became a group is to protect our own investments in the trail system itself. When we have governments cutting back on spending and recreational things just seem to not be at the top of the budget for the governments, the governing bodies, we just felt it was really important that they realize that this is the number one horse trail system in New York State and probably one of the top three in the northeast in
wow.
the state. So it was very important, and I think the DEC has really realized that we're serious, and they really want to make it better here because it is such a super system. And how many visitors do you think we get, Liz? I know you had kind of a tally from last year.
Yeah, I think the trail system, according to the DEC, gets on the neighborhood of in excess of 8,000 visitors a year.
And those are just the ones that... Yeah, and those are the ones that sign the book, the register at the assembly area. But there's also, for our own business, at horsecampsatottercreek.com, we have hundreds of...
We probably have about
600 guests a year that come in and use our facilities in addition to the public area.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well, we want to... And by the way, you've got a website for the Friends of Otter Creek Trails, don't you?
We do, yes.
And is that just friendsofottercreektrails.com?
It's friendsofottercreekhorsetrails.com.
Okay.
And we're also on Facebook, and we're also, Gary, on Facebook. Our Facebook page, also Friends of Otter Creek Horse Trails, keeps our people up to date on recent issues on the trail, or somebody lost, it was cute, the other day I was riding over in Pitcher Pond and I saw a camera sitting on the bench. So I picked it up, I said, I'll take it back to the assembly area, where I found a note from the people who lost the camera. And then, lo and behold, on Facebook, I got a note from the person who actually found the camera, put it on the table, and then I brought it to the assembly area and eventually put it in their tent. It's a great, great asset, our Facebook page. People really know what's going on. This last week, the big conversation were, how are the bugs? And guess what? Like that, we ain't got no bugs. And I can't tell you how many people enjoy finding out that they're safe to come up. They don't need a fly mask, and they barely need spray.
That's great.
We do have a bear or two.
Yes, and we posted a picture of the bear prints the other day. So it just keeps people active as what's happening here.
Well, that is great. Well, you've got a great Facebook page, and I've been to the website and visited that. It's great with great information and news that's posted on there as well. And Bobby Jean is a briar horse rider, not a real horse rider. So she might be inclined to get out to hit some trails if there are picnic tables and real bathrooms out there somewhere.
Well, I have to say that for some years I lived outside Syracuse, and I know that's not really near where you are, but there's nothing like fall coming up in the Adirondacks. It's so incredibly beautiful, and I would imagine that your trees, and as they change color, probably peak around Columbus Day. That seems to always be when trees peak, and it would have to be just so glorious to be riding through this area as we get into fall.
It is, and Syracuse is only a mere 2 hours from here, and our leaves are already starting to change a tiny
bit. Yeah, they are.
Wow.
Coming. Humidity is dropping, and honestly, September in New York in the mountains is the number one place to be on a horse.
Well, that is great. That's good for all the folks back here in the East that are tired of the humidity that we've been having back here in the Southeast. So, you know, you've got a big event that's coming up that we want to talk about in just a moment. And also we're going to talk about the horse camps at Otter Creek Trails. But right now we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more with Karen and Liz and Bobby. And we do want to mention that the Campfire Cafe is made possible by our great sponsors in the general store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the general store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And we're going to come back right after this great song by Kristen Harris and talk more with Liz and with Karen. Kristen Harris and Endless Skies, and we're talking with Karen Giroux and Liz Hershey and Bobby Jean Bell about the horse trails at Otter Creek Trails in New York. And you've got a pretty big event. Is this your first fundraiser that you're getting ready to do?
This is the first time ever that anybody has been allowed to do a fundraiser and have an event right at the assembly area at Otter Creek. So needless to say, through our group of Friends of Otter Creek Horse Trails and the DEC, it's finally going to happen. We've had tremendous response for it. It's going to be on a lovely, sunny fall day in September. September 19th,
right?
Yes, perfect weather. It's going to be September 19th, which is a Saturday. It's going to be held right at the General Assembly area. We're going to start everybody off with registration at 10 a.m. till 12, and you come down, register yourself. We ask for a donation, maybe in the line of $25 to ride. And what the ride will consist of is a 7-mile path on some of our prettiest trails. It's going to be through Homebound Trail with the planted tall, tall pines. And then we're going to go around Little Otter Lake and then a little bit of the Serengeti and come back on Twin Ponds Trail, where we have done a lot of work making it safer. The trail itself will have 5 stops to it. At 5 locations, separate locations, we will have our members at a table, and each rider will be asked a horse trivia question. And if they get it right, they're going to win yet another prize ticket for the raffle that we will be having at the very end of the event at 4 o'clock. We've got some wonderful donations from a lot of our local merchants in Lewis County, and especially our little town called Lowellville, which happens to be the county seat. And we're very excited because our riders get to bone up on their horse trivia, and we're looking to have a wonderful, wonderful time. We've got tons of donuts donated by Miller's, and to get them started, make sure they have enough sugar to get out around that 7-mile loop. And we're really excited. Not only our local veterinary hospitals are contributing, but our local realtors and our wonderful people at Monitz, who change all the tires on the broken trailers, come in. So needless to say, we're really, really excited about doing this. And the best part is every single nickel that is donated during this event will be turned directly back into our trail system through the New York State Horse Council and our account through the Horse Council, which has been wonderful in supporting our trail system.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Yes. Well, that just sounds like a ton of fun. And that trivia should be a lot of fun. Should be a lot.
Yes. Gary, I had to find my original U.S. Pony Club manual so I could work on my question.
Okay, so everybody needs to run out and get that manual so you can bone up. There's your hint for the day on that. So that sounds like fun. Well, and again, the website for the Friends of Otter Creek Horse Trails is Otter Creek Friends of Otter Creek. Friends of the Otter Creek Horse Trails.com.
Yes, and at any time, if you get stumped, just Google Otter Creek Horse Trails and all our sites will come up and you'll find us there. On those sites and our Facebook page are copies of the flyer that you can print up. We do ask that they bring copies of Coggins along with them. And remember, in New York State, helmets are required for anyone under 18.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to point out. It's different. And New York has some different type of requirements than they do in some other areas. So, but that's a good thing. That is a good thing. Keep these youngsters very safe. We want to talk about horse camps at Otter Creek Trails. I mean, you've got a great website. Facebook page as well, and visiting that, you've got some beautiful cabins there. Talk to us about how did you get started with it, and tell us about horse camps at Otter Creek Trails.
Well, it is sort of a fun story, and it involves me when I met Karen. Actually, it was the beginning of the horse camp. I've been riding, as I said earlier, these trails for quite a few years, and I used to camp out at the main assembly area and sleep in the back of my Jeep with my usually soggy dog, and did that for many, many years, and looked for property, and finally I found some property on the northern end of the horse trail, and there were two camps for sale, and my husband and I bought both. One we fixed up for ourselves, and the second one was sort of a mystery what we do with. And after some consternation, I thought, well, you know, I could fix it up and maybe rent it out to people that like to trail ride just like I do. And just about then, Karen drives up the driveway and says, I'm looking for a Liz Hershey. I heard there's a Liz Hershey around here. It was funny. Our local bakery said, hey, Karen and Liz, you guys got to meet each other. And my background was 35 years as a residential real estate appraiser. So doesn't Liz ask me about, can we do something here? Do you think these are doable and rentable? And I said, yes, that would be great. Because all the people that come and stay at my house, I can move them out and have them go to your house. and take money to do it. And that's how it all evolved. Yeah. So now we have five cabins. Large house on the all in the trail system, and we have a couple of private campsites for people that have living quarter trailers. We have an arena and facilities so that people can, you know, exercise their horse if they need to before they go out.
Right.
And we're in our this will be the fifth year since it started, and we probably have about 600 people come to our cabins every season, which, by the way, the season is from the beginning of May through Columbus Day.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, as I said, if you go and look at the website, the cabins are absolutely gorgeous. They're not your normal run-of-the-mill little cabins that you find at describe your cabins and the facilities and what's available to folks there.
Well, the idea with the cabins was that, as you know, I think your site says that 76% of your listeners are women. And
right.
I think it's even a higher number than that are horse owners. So we, given that Karen and I are gals too, and we know what it takes to go camping with your horse, we thought, well, we want to create a safe, comfortable, fun environment for gals that come riding with their horses for the weekend or for the week or for whatever period of time. I mean, it's just we sleep better at night knowing that we have good places that our people are at and that they're comfortable there. And we don't, you know, when you're packing up all this stuff to go camping, it gets pretty onerous. So we have the barbecue grills, we have the campfire wood and the campfires, and the kitchens are all laid out, and the bedding and the towels, and everything's clean and comfortable and safe. As they'd say in the Northeast, it's quite très chic. And we're very happy, not only for the ladies and the occasional gentlemen who come and stay at our, we call them cabins, but they're way above that. I think the term in the Adirondacks, you have a getaway place, it's always called a camp or a cabin. But they range, and they've all, the original cabins have all been totally gutted and renovated. And they start with 800 square foot, two bedroom, to a 2,500 square foot place that will house six people. Each facility has a separate barn for the horses. Each horse has a box stall and direct access to a paddock, so they're not standing after a five-hour ride where they're stuck in a straight stall.
Right.
So we not only think of the people, we're mostly concerned about the comforts of the horses.
And the horses, once they hit that sand paddock, they are on vacation. They love it.
They drop and roll.
First thing they do is roll. Yeah.
They drop and roll. And we go so far as to make sure that we can even have hay delivered if they can't quite fit it all in their bumper pull.
Yeah.
Our campers call it glamping.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with that. Again, the cabins are more than cabins, and they're absolutely beautifully decorated and furnished and equipped. And so it's a great place for people to get away. And do you have folks that come from out of state that stay with you?
Oh yes, we do. We have folks from Maine, all through New England, actually, Vermont. A lot of people from Vermont, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Canada. We have a lovely couple here this week from Toronto. We have another couple coming in from Ottawa. We have, I think, the farthest.
Colorado.
Colorado was our farthest. And they brought their pet bunny.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, we have a lot of people that listen to the show from out of the country as well as all across the U.S. and Canada. And this question comes up quite often, and we haven't talked about this. If someone wanted to come and stay and ride, are there horses available somewhere for people to be able to rent to ride the trails?
Unfortunately, no. New York State is one of the only states that has not passed what's called the inherent risk bill, unfortunately, even though our horse council has been very persistent in trying to get this law passed.
Right.
What happens, the liability is so huge that there are very few rental facilities anywhere in New York State. And we're kind of in that same position. The liability issues are so great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so people really do have to come with their own horses here. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So BYOH is the order of the day on there. So, well, you've got, as I said, you have a beautiful facility. The photographs that I've seen of the trails there are absolutely gorgeous. And by the way, I looked at some of the little videos too, and there was a cute video of everybody with those new wheelbarrows.
You like that?
I like that.
That actually is most of the members of our Friends of Otter Creek Horse Trail. That's our friends group when we made the donation.
Oh, that is too cool. Well, let's give people the website for you for horse camps at Otter Creek Trails.
It's horse camps at ottercreekhorsetrails.com.
Okay. All right. So visit
their website. As Karen said, if you just put Otter Creek Horse Trails in your browser, then all of these websites will come up on the front page. And, of course, ours will be first. And if you need to get a hold of me and Liz, just go under the contact page, and our pictures will show up and how you can get a hold of either of us. And believe me, when we have horse camps at Otter Creek, we do provide a 24-hour concierge service, bar none.
Although there's a fee if we have to come find you in the woods in the middle of the night.
If you want to dinner, want to do a late night ride, don't ask us to come find you when you're lost. But we will. We know it.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, we are totally available 24/7.
Well, that's absolutely great. Well, you ladies have absolutely been a joy to visit with. And Bobby Jean, if you want to do some glamping, then this is a great place to put on your bucket.
Oh, I've been looking at all of the pictures of all of these wonderful, I can't call them cabins, but these wonderful places. And the new one, Dig It, is the newest one. What a cool staircase. Who built that?
Thank you.
That's very cool. Yeah, all of our listeners, you got to go check this out.
Yeah, well, most of our, it's very affordable. It's $65 a night per person for the cabin. So it's, you know, it's not a crazy thing. And I hope a lot of people give us a call. We'd love to have some new folks.
Well, give them a call. And I'm going to guarantee you, just from visiting with these ladies on the show today, you're going to have a good time. You're going to have some fun. I mean, these ladies are a lot of fun to visit with, so I know you'll have a great time at Horse Camps at Otter Creek Trails. And we appreciate you being with us today. We look forward to having you back again. Kind of tell us how your first fundraising effort went up there.
Yep. We will definitely keep you posted, and we really appreciate your support.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And we're going to come right back and talk more with Bobby Jean Bell on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And a bucket list place is Horse Camps at Otter Creek Horse Trails. Be sure and visit their website and their Facebook page. Ladies, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. Have a great time.
All right. Thanks. Giddy up. All right. We'll be right back.
There's a place I can go, where I'm one with the wind, blowing down off the snow, far beyond thought, down where the mighty rivers flow, one with the earth, one with the stars. Home under these boundless skies, in the canyons and the halls of eternity, where the eagle flies over fields of stone. When I'm here, I'm home. My soul's alone, it can break free of the flesh and the bone. In these boundless skies, in the limitless light of the mystery, I am one with all in the gray. Beyond time and space, beyond thought, beyond limitation, all that I've been, all that I'll be, lives in the light of creation. In these boundless skies, in the canyons and the halls of eternity, where the eagle flies over fields of stone. When I'm here, I'm home. Deep in my heart, there's a place I can go, one with the wind, blowing down off the snow, far beyond thought, down where the mighty rivers flow, one with the earth, one with the stars. I'm home under these boughs, in the limitless light of the mystery, I am one with all in the great unknown. When I'm here, I'm home.
Well, that's Lacey J. Dalton and Boundless Skies. And Bobby Jean, another fun show today.
Always, Gary. Always.
Always fun show. So enjoyed Carrie being with us today, and Liz and Karen. And we have some great shows that are lined up for the rest of the month. Next week, who do we have joining us next week?
Next week, we have the last of the Vaudeville Cowboys. Sourdough Slim joins us on August 27th. And then September, we kick it off with Del Shields. On the 10th, we have Canadian, I cannot wait to speak with good friend, Canadian cowgirl poet Doris Daly. September 17th, Dave Stamey joins us, and he is also our next concert at Out West, which is a week from tonight and is totally sold out. And then Susie Knight, who has been nominated for Female Poet of the Year, past Female Poet of the Year, joins us on September 24th. So a great month coming up of music and poetry.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, we've got Blessed Trails coming up this Sunday with Belinda Gale. And her guest will be the Hanson family. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, Saddle Up America on Tuesday, where we'll be visiting with some great guests and more great guest ranches. Any final thoughts for today?
I do have one. This is kind of a fun quote, actually, from Charlie Russell. Spending that many hours in the saddle gave a man plenty of time to think. That's why so many cowboys fancied themselves philosophers.
All right, a great closing thought for today. As always, fun to have you with us and our audience as well. We remind you, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And we'll close the show today out with the Riders in the Sky. Happy trails to you. Thanks for listening.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again. Trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing the song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Goodbye, good luck, and may the good Lord take a liking to you.